In 2012, there was a lot going on. You know, you write about in your book, Confessions of Punk Rock's Most Infamous Anarchist Sellout. But what isn't in the book is whether or not people were talking at all about the 10-year anniversary of reinventing Axl Rose. And I'm wondering, through all of the press about your transition, was anybody talking about that? Was there any chatter about that?
Yeah, you know, I do remember like seeing somebody say something online somewhere and being like, "Oh, whoa, crazy, 10 years." It like really kind of sneaks up on you sometimes. But I don't know. Like, I'm a conflicted person oftentimes in that like I don't like nostalgia, but then I'm oftentimes very nostalgic. So like I'll get nostalgic about something and then feel really gross about it for being nostalgic about it. I can't help but always look fondly back at that time and place when that record was made. And just like a lot of happy memories around it. And it's like a good thing to keep things, it's a good record to keep things in perspective too, you know, as far as like thinking, okay, I recorded that record in a day and it costs like $800 to make. And it's gone on and it was like highest selling record of No Idea Records whole catalog. Like small things like that where you're like, wow, you know, you don't have to have much to really like do something that can continue to reverberate and reverberate.
Walking Is Still Honest was a song that hit me in 2002. I was 15 at the time. No other song that I had heard up until that point really made me feel like I was, like I could relate to an artist. I'm wondering what it's like playing that for a crowd that sort of now understands the vibe of that, you know, fully, you know, for themselves and like for you, being able to just be honest about what you were walking about. What's it like now versus playing that song live in 2002?
You know, that's like one of the few songs that has always felt relevant to me. Like there's never been a time when we played it where I've been like, hurry up, let's get to the next song, you know, or felt like out of touch with who I was when I wrote it, you know, and it's a song that like kind of has continued to evolve and change as any good song should, if it's going to have like that kind of lasting power. And like the meaning of it too, but like, I don't know, I listened to that and I like taken immediately back to the little tiny small shack house that I lived in at the time when I wrote it. And just like, I can feel everything about it.
So you've pretty much been on the road for like a third of your life. What kind of perspective do you have now? What's it mean for you to come home after a tour now? How has that changed since, you know, the Axl Rose days?
I guess like, you know, in the Axl Rose days, there's still a real split as far as like, you know, wanting to make music my life or our life as a band, but not necessarily having it be realistic yet. So, you know, coming right off the road and going back to work at whatever our day jobs were. And, you know, at the time I was working as an auto mechanic and I was checking IDs at a bar at night. And I had this whole like other kind of world I existed in with specifically around the bar I worked at where, you know, you go on tour now and there's the band and there's the crew and there's like, that's like your scene of people just the same as if you go to any other job, you know, and like the people you work with, except for I live like on a submarine with these people. But so it was like the same kind of with at the bar I worked at where like there's this group of people, this like cast of characters that I'd see every day when I came home. But so you'd have these real, this real split life where like you'd come home and, you know, the people who were your friends at your job, at your day job, like they didn't really understand what you were doing when you were going out and you were going on tour. And vice versa, you know, and now it seems like, you know, there was a point, and I often say that I'm pretty sure it was like our first European tour that we ever did, which was 2 months long, and it was 2 months long, and I remember I only changed my pants once right in the middle of the 2 month mark, so it was a very smelly tour. We were very punk, but you know, I remember like feeling like that tour changed something inside of me or something inside of us that like you could never change back. And, you know, just like I take what I do very seriously. And now it's like, you know, there is no separation between coming home and going on tour.
For sure. Speaking of writing in your journal, I wanted to ask you about a couple of specific lines on Shapeshift With Me, which is an amazing album. On Delicate, Petite, and All the Things I'll Never Be, the opening line, I want to be more real than all the others. I want to be more real than all the rest.
I want to be more real than all the others. I want to be more real than all the rest.
That line pops up again in Norse Truth, sort of turned around on itself. And I'm wondering what the connection is between those two songs, if there is any, and, you know, what was going on? What were those journal entries like those days, that day when you wrote that line?
I feel like that happening specifically with that line, there's like one or two other lines that repeat in songs on there, and a lot of it was subconscious, where I didn't even realize until, like, we were actually, like, recording or at whatever point where it was kind of too late, where I was like, oh, huh, that line kind of repeats. It's in the same place. But I kind of look at the song Norse Truth and the song Delicate Petite, they've connected, and they're almost kind of mirrors of each other. And I feel like that the line was both coming from a place of examining the idea of passing and of what it means to be a woman, specifically in a related to being transgender and transitioning, you know, and that search for whatever. And then also, like, twisting it of being like, I'm going to be real with you right now. And I found it, like, super interesting how at first, before there was, like, lyrics for anyone to actually read, a lot of people misinterpreted that line as, I want to be so real that you can't see the difference. When the lyric is, you can see the difference. You know, it was a subconscious thing, and I can't really necessarily recall exactly where I was when I wrote that line, but it was a line that resonated that I kept coming back to.
So I was deeply closeted in 2012, spending half my time with the song How Low on repeat, ironically playing out that song's themes by myself in my room. And in 2013, Queens of the Stone Age released Like Clockwork, which is all about letting go, death and rebirth. Perfect background music for completely destroying my male ego, to use your words. I mean, in the book you talk about you didn't hear the word transgender until you were 20. For me, it was when Transgender Dysphoria Blues came out. I know I'm not the only person who found themselves and found the situational strength to come out after that release and after your very public transition, but I'm wondering what it's like for you to know that you've made such an impact on so many people's lives in, like, this really real way.
I mean, it makes me happy. Like, and it touches me in the same way that I know what it meant to me when I would see any other report or, like, whatever blurb on someone else transitioning or coming out. Like, you know, obviously there was, like, so many other people becoming visible too and coming out, like, that it kind of had, like, a cumulative effect. If you want to, like, refer to the cover of Time magazine with Liver and Cox on it, with I think the headline was, like, the transgender tipping point or whatever. But I think that was, like, kind of a real thing where you did have that cumulative effect, and a lot of that was the visibility factor because, as I was saying, like, when I would see signs of it, like, I remember seeing a news article that Mina Caputo had come out and was transitioning, and then seeing, like, so many other, like, little blurbs along the way, I always thought they were, like, placed there by the universe for me to see, to like, encourage me and to push me to accept myself. So if, like, my story does that for anybody else, does that same thing, then that's incredible, and that's the way it should be, just as the people who came before me were to me.
Okay, I have one last question. So Ezra Furman is a friend of mine, was actually my first roommate when I moved to Chicago in 2011. I know that you guys have sort of tweeted at each other, and he mentioned in an article in Brooklyn Vegan about maybe you guys working on just, like, a straight up punk outfit. And my question is, when is that happening?
Oh, geez. Whenever I, like, get some time off the road. I really want to have friends in Chicago. I have, like, no friends in Chicago just because I'm never there. And when I am there, I'm, like, full-on time parent mode, you know? But, yeah, I would love to. I just want to play bass. I want four strings of responsibility.
Thank you so much.
Cool. I appreciate it. Pleasure talking with you.
You too. Thank you so much.